Our scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Jesus told his disciples, "There is a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. And so he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot manage my resources any longer.'" And then turning to Matthew 28:16, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. And then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" As the Master pleases. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. Oh, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, all that demands my soul, my life, my all. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. May we live as God intended, in a world at peace and the awareness of his love in every sunset, every flower's unfolding petals, every baby's smile, every lover's kiss, and every wonderful, astonishing, and miraculous beat of our heart. May we live as God intended. How is it that God intends for us to live? Are we doing as the Master pleases with the wealth that he has given us? The relationship which man bears to God, the creature to his Creator, shared with us in the words of God in the Bible. We see that relationship in many various representations. First, as a sinner, a fallen creature, we are represented as the debtor to our Creator. We are also frequently represented as a servant, which is good, because the name servant is given to the Son of God when, in his state of humiliation, he took upon himself the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. But no character more exactly agrees with the present state of man than that of a steward. God created humankind in his image. Does that mean God looks like me? Probably not. Does that mean that others can see God when they look at me? Hopefully so. To be sure, though, the image that God created us in is the image of his love, of his giving. He created us in his image as ruler of the earth, stewards thereof, caretakers, those entrusted with using, cultivating, manifesting the wealth that he created. We are to ensure that it is used to glorify him. We are debtors, but it is only in one particular respect, and namely, as we are sinners, that we are styled and identified and marked as debtors. Now, let there be no mistake that we, even as stewards, are indebted to God for all that we have. But although a debtor is obliged to return what he has received, he is still free to use what he has been given as he pleases. In other words, when you borrow to buy a car, you're not told by the bank what kind of car you must buy, what options it'll have on it, what color it will be. You're free to choose as you please. The only thing that the bank is concerned about is that you give back that money that you borrowed, that you're indebted for. While the debtor is at liberty to use as is seen fit by that debtor, the same is not true of the steward. The steward is not at liberty to use what is given to him as he pleases, but rather he is to use it as his master pleases. He has no right to dispose of anything which is in his hands, but only according to the will of his Lord. For he is not the proprietor of any of these things, but barely entrusted to use them as the master pleases. Now that's exactly the case of every man, of every woman, of every family with relation to God. We are not at liberty to use what he has lodged in our hands as we please, but rather as he pleases. He alone is the possessor of heaven and earth and the Lord of every creature. He entrusts us with these things on the express condition that we will use them only as our master's goods and only as according to the particular directions which he has given to us in his word. Consider what God has entrusted us with. He has entrusted us with our soul, an immortal spirit made in the image of God, together with all the powers and faculties that go with it, such as understanding and imagination and memory and will. Also included here are a host of other affections, either included in it or closely dependent upon it, such as love and hate, joy and sorrow, respecting present good and evil, desire and aversion, hope and fear. God has entrusted us with these powers and faculties, not that we can use them according to our will, but according to the express orders which he has given to us. And as a child soon learns in regard to his parents' orders, that in doing God's will, we secure our own happiness. We are to use our understanding, our imagination, our memory, wholly to the glory of God who gave them to us. We are to love, rejoice, to desire, to shun, to hope, and to fear according to the rule which God prescribes. We are his. And all that we have is his. So we are given our souls, entrusted with a soul given from God. God has also entrusted us with our bodies, these exquisite machines so wonderfully made. He's entrusted us with the gift of sight, the gift of hearing, and all of the rest. But none of these are given to us as our own to be employed according to our will. None of these are to be used by us in such a sense as to leave us at liberty to use them as we please. We have received them on these very terms, that as long as they abide with us, we should employ them in that very manner that God appoints, that God directs. Use them as God desires us to. Thou hast given me a tongue, says the ancient writer, that I may praise thee therewith. For this purpose was it given to all of the children of God, to praise him, to be employed in glorifying God. Our tongues are our own is a lie, unless we have created them ourselves. We're equally accountable to God for the use of our hands and feet and all the many talents which are committed to our trust. We have the use of these, but as stewards, not as proprietors, not as owners at will to use them as we choose. We are to use them, all of ourselves, as an instrument of God's righteousness. God has entrusted us with a portion of worldly goods, with food to eat, clothes to put on, a place where we can lay our head, a place that we call home. He has taken care not only of the necessaries, but for many of us, He's taken care of the conveniences as well. Everyone here shares with me an abundance of God's provisions. None of us have less than we need. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Most of us, if not all, have far more than we need, far more than is sufficient. Sufficient. I think of my children as they graduated from college and as they secured that first job and began to make plans for their earnings. You remember those early days when you got that first job? Well, they asked, and so I did sit down with them and went over their budgeting. And I asked, well, where's your tithe to the church? Where are your savings dollars for those emergencies that are going to come up? And where are the dollars that you're going to put aside to grow so that someday you won't have to work for money, but your money can work for you? Well, I asked each one of them the same questions, and each one, as if the script had been handed one to another, said, Dad, I don't have enough money to do all of that. Really? Well, how much money did you have last year? How much are you going to have this year? If you have more this year, why don't you have enough this year? My promise to each one of them was that regardless of how much money they have, how much money they make, it'll never be enough. It'll never be sufficient. You'll always find ways to spend it, but our goal is to be good stewards of it and do as the Master pleases. But what is sufficient? You know, I used to be a really good Wesleyan Methodist. John Wesley said that you should earn all the money that you can. But like most Methodists, I stopped reading right there. The rest of that story is, earn all that you can so that you can give all that you can to those who need it. Sufficiency means different things to different people. To my children, there were those first years of producing income, never sufficient funds. When I was on active duty in the Air Force, my income was barely sufficient. When I retired from the Air Force and started my business and began to earn an annual income over $100,000, I found that barely sufficient. And then I put down my net and I became a Methodist minister and received a base salary of just over $28,000. But you know, I found that sufficient. I found that sufficient because my spiritual wealth had grown to such grandeur that we had realized a new value system. Money running through my bank account, being spent on things I really didn't need and didn't have time enough to enjoy, those things weren't causing me to be rich. I found that when I lived my life as a good steward of all that God had given me, I found then that I was abundantly rich in ways that I never even imagined. All too soon, the Lord will ask, how did you employ the body that I entrusted to you? I gave you a tongue to praise me. Did you use it to that end for which it was given? Did you employ it not in evil speaking or idle speaking, not in uncharitable or unprofitable conversation, but did you use it for good, as was necessary or useful either to me or to others? Did you use it to minister grace to the hearers? I gave you other senses, God says, knowledge, sight, and hearing. Were these employed to these excellent purposes for which they were given to you? Did you use them to bring you more and more instruction in righteousness and true holiness? How did you employ the body that I entrusted to you? I gave you hands and feet and various other parts of the body. Were they used not in doing the will of the flesh, the things which you, your reason and your fancy led you to? Did you use your body to sin, or did you use it to me alone through my Son, love, as instruments of righteousness? How did you employ the worldly goods which I lodged in your hands? Did you use your money to buy clothes sufficient to cover you and protect you, or to nourish pride or vanity, much less tempt others in sin? In what way did you employ your money? In gratifying desires of the flesh, the desires of the eye, or the pride of life, using it for vain expenses? Or did you use it to help in the furthering of my kingdom on earth? Were you a good steward of my grace? And when you were made a partaker of my Holy Spirit, crying in your heart, Abba, Father, did you stand fast in the glorious liberty that by which I made you free? Did you form that point on present? Did your body and soul and your thoughts and your words and your actions in one flame of love reach out to others as a holy sacrifice, glorifying me, God, with your body and your spirit? Then well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. It is his will that we should continually grow in grace and in the living knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, understanding that we can never do more than our duty, seeing all we have is not our own but God's, and all we can do is do him. We have not received this or that or many things only, but everything from God. It's no small thing to lay out for God all which you have received from him. It requires all of your wisdom, all of your resolution, all of your patience, far more than ever you had by nature, but not more than you may have by grace. For God's grace is sufficient for you, and all things you know are possible to him that believe. By faith, then, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the whole armor of God, and you shall be enabled to glorify him in all your words and all your works. Yes, to bring every thought into captivity and to the obedience of Christ. Are we doing as the Master pleases? The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaim his handiwork. Are we? Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. Have we missed it? We can still catch up. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. May we wake up each morning thinking about how we will do as our Master pleases. Amen.